Welcome to the Logger and Listings Podcast with JFK Properties. This podcast gives real estate investors, experts, and entrepreneurs an opportunity to share their stories over a casual beverage. Hosted by the founding members of JFK Properties, an investment company that specializes in commercial and residential real estate. So sit back, grab a drink, and listen to this real, insightful, and sometimes funny podcast on real estate investing and entrepreneurship.
So welcome to another episode of the Logger and Listings Podcast with JFK Properties. I'm your host, Kurt, for today, and we are fortunate enough to have Shelly Hagen on today's episode. How are you doing today, Shelly?
I am great, Kurt. I'm great. Just back from vacation.
Awesome.
It's not back up. Good to see you today. Thank you for inviting me to your little show.
Seeing you as well. How was your vacation last week?
Oh, it was great. Had a great time. Had a family wedding. Got to see a lot of family and friends and, you know, have some fun. It was good. It was very good.
Awesome. And now back to the grind of real estate?
Yes, at it. Trying to get caught up on everything after being gone for a week. You know how it is.
So can you tell us how you got your start in real estate?
Sure. I started my little, what I always call my little adventure in real estate investing back in 2000 with my business partner, Carol McConaughey. Carol and I used to work at the phone company in Regina, Saskatchewan, and had been there for quite a long time, and they were offering a severance package. And I found out Carol was looking at taking a severance package, and so was I. And so we sat down and said, okay, what are you going to do life after the phone company? Because I had some ideas of doing some business consulting, and she had some different ideas. And we sat down and realized we both had this interest in real estate investing. And she'd actually owned a rental property, and I had been looking just recently at that time for a property with a basement suite. And so we just started talking a little bit further about that. And then we thought, well, you know, we worked for the phone company and we'd had a lot of really good education at the company. We thought there's got to be some education out there on how to invest in real estate. So we went out looking for something to help us get us started and move forward faster. And we found a program, and that's how you and I originally met each other, Kurt. And we took the training and we just realized that this was not rocket science. This was something two farm girls from Saskatchewan could do. And we just jumped in both feet and it was sink or swim. You know, go big or go home was our motto. And so the first year we really focused because we didn't have a job. We quit our good paying job. We had no income coming in and we were pretty motivated to get out and get some money coming in. So we just jumped right in and we bought 48 units in Regina and 48 units in Gatineau, Quebec. And we bought the ones in Gatineau through a connection that we'd made through the training. And we just really never looked back. We took our initial training in November of 2000 and left our job at the end of the year. So in 2021, that first year, we bought 96 units and we just never looked back. It's been busy. And it's been the best thing I have ever done for myself personally in my whole life. I'm just a totally different person than I was when I worked for the phone company. And so I'm very, very grateful for the opportunities that I've had.
That sounds like a lot. So was there anything that was challenging about accomplishing that in such a short period of time? And how much time are you guys investing into the business?
Well, we were working full time because we had, you know, quit our jobs already. We had a very steep learning curve, I tell you, trying to keep track of 48. And the 48 that we had in Regina, we managed ourselves. And they were low-income housing in what we affectionately call the hood in Regina. And the ones in Gatineau were good working-class, middle-income neighborhood properties. And so the biggest challenge was managing from afar because we were learning so much in such a short period of time. And we had a very demanding portfolio in Regina. So to keep both, you know, cities going at the same time, we really had to focus on, you know, getting organized, getting systems in place, that getting good property managers and power team members that could support us. And so we learned a lot in a very short period of time. And it seemed like all I was doing was signing my life away because we financed all of these properties ourselves. I mean, it was a totally different time back then compared to what we're in now. Property values were a lot different prices, certainly, than they are now. And so we'd go to the lawyer's office, there'd be a stack of papers, and we'd sign them, and it would move from one side of the desk to the other. And And so it was like, wow, you know, you think about how much. And then we put together this portfolio tracking sheet. At the end, we looked at it and went, oh my gosh, we got like between $5 and $6 million worth of properties in a matter of a couple months. Who would have thought, you know? And then within a short period of time, we were well over 10 million in properties at that time. It just grew really quick. And so we started out getting rental property, and then we realized we had an opportunity to wholesale because people were wanting to come to Regina and buy properties. And so we started doing other strategies at that time.
So wholesaling, and again, this is something that we've talked a little bit about on previous episodes of the podcast, but really you are known as the wholesale queen. So can you tell people like how you decided to really focus in on wholesaling after having such a strong portfolio with the residential rental properties?
Well, that was a very good question because we had a lot on our plate. We were really busy. But in a very short period of time, we got to meet a lot of people across the country through the training organization that we were with. And we were, within about a year or so, we were asked to come on and start doing some coaching. So I started with phone coaching and then doing mentoring and eventually doing training. And so we just met a lot of people. And at that particular point in time, the three cheapest markets in Canada were Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Regina, Saskatchewan. So we were in this great opportunity with low income properties, and we had made some very good connections. And I had a whole power team in place in Regina a very short period of time. So people started coming to Regina to look for properties and realized we're leaving money on the table. We had worked hard to build this network. Let's start capitalizing and monetizing our network and start helping these people find properties. So we had some property managers lined up, and we had local people that we were finding deals. Because we were doing this full time, a lot of investors that we met were still working part-time or full-time jobs, and they were always looking for deals. And we realized that there was a good opportunity. And so then we started doing wholesale there. We started going to Winnipeg, look at deals there, and we'd helped a few people get into some properties in different locations. And it just one thing after another kind of grew. And right from the very beginning, Carol and I had always wanted to go to the United States because, you know, there's 36 million people in Canada and there's like, you know, 360 million in the U.S. And Carol had always had an interest in moving to the U.S. A lot of her family lived there. I have a huge family in Canada, so it wasn't really my top priority, but we knew there was opportunity. So when we started going down, we spent a winter in Texas. We wholesaled the whole winter. We started wholesaling in Phoenix, and we still to this day wholesale in Phoenix. And I did some wholesaling in Detroit, and we did fix and flips and different cities, you know, so we've worked that market since 2003, as well as the Canadian market. And so it just one thing kind of led to another. And to this day, I wholesale every day. I don't wholesale real estate every day, though. I wholesale all kinds of things, commodities and things come your way. Because as you build your business, and you build your network, you never know who you're going to be introduced to. And whenever I'm talking to people, I always want to know who they are, what are they working on? And what is it that they need today? Is there something that I can do to help them? And then vice versa. Well, if Kurt, if you happen to find this, you know, would you keep me in mind? So it's all about how do we interrelate and become interdependent and establish a relationship? Because that's what real estate and business is all about, is, you know, having relationships, having a network. You know, now that I know you, I inadvertently know all the people you know. So you might know somebody that can help me that you had never thought about. And so I always put it out there to people, you know, what is it that you do? What do you want? And I keep track of those things in your contacts to say, oh, Kurt's looking for this or whatever. So that when I think of something, all of a sudden, inadvertently, the next week, I'll get a phone call and someone will say, oh, yeah, there's this multi-unit apartment building in New Brunswick. And I went, oh, Kurt was asking me about that. So, you know, it just reminds me. So it's really important when you're talking to people that you establish some rapport and establish that connection.
So how would you say that the wholesale market has changed? I know you don't necessarily focus on wholesaling real estate right now, but, you know, for people that are looking at getting in now, what's different today than it was when you first started?
Oh my gosh, the market has changed dramatically. When we first got started, wholesale was big business in the U.S. And the training that we took was originally a U.S.-based company who then implemented the training in Canada, and eventually all the training became Canadianized. But so we were introduced more so to wholesale on an American kind of concept. And when you first started out with wholesale, people didn't know what it was, and especially in Regina, Saskatchewan. What the heck is a wholesale deal? And they didn't necessarily trust you. It's like, well, what's wrong with the deal? If you bring a deal to me, why are you not buying it? Well, I don't have money. I can't get financing, whatever. Or, you know, I got too many deals. I got 3 deals and I only want 2. There's another one that's still a good deal. I don't want to lose it. So it took a while to educate the whole industry, and it really has evolved tremendously in the last 10, 15 years. So we understand now what wholesale is about. If I phone you up and I say, hey, heard I have this deal, I'm wondering if you're interested. You know, I have a buyer's list of people that there's a couple of guys here that I work with in Calgary that buy, you know, 6 to 10 houses a month. They just have a little machine. They do fix and flips and they do burst strategy to hold them as rentals. And so, you know, it now is part of business. It took a while to get there. It's huge business in the U.S., huge business. Everybody wholesales. And so it's much easier too to get paid. Because when I first started this off and I would want $10,000 for a deal, they wanted to pay me like $1,000. Well, just a minute. I spent a lot of time building my network and researching and marketing to get these deals coming in. My time is worth something. And so I want to get paid accordingly. You know, number one rule in wholesaling is you got to leave money on the table for the next guy who's coming in the door. And I do that. And I know how to analyze deals and, you know, bring you a good deal. And I always try to underpromise and overdeliver on those deals. So don't ever underestimate yourself. Don't sell yourself short with those things, because your time is worth it.
So now that you're wholesaling other things, what is the craziest thing that you've wholesaled, and how did that happen?
Probably the craziest thing to wholesale is jet fuel. And that's kind of how I got into doing other commodities other than real estate. And so I used to be a mortgage broker, and I got kind of bored doing just residential single family homes. And I was working towards getting commercial. And then I started getting a lot of project financing requests. And I was working with this person from Ottawa that I know who was trying to get financing for some oil wells in Tennessee. And from living in Texas, I had made some good connections in oil and gas financing down there. Huge, you know, business in oil and gas and a lot of money in Dallas. We lived in Dallas one winter. And so I was trying to help this out. At the end of the deal kind of fell through because of the client. And then he said to me at the end of the call, he said, oh, by the way, do you happen to know anyone who has some jet fuel for sale? And I went, jet fuel? Like, no, I do real estate. I don't have anyone with jet fuel. And he goes, well, actually, I know you have a huge network across North America. He said, I just thought I would put it out there. And I said, well, tell you what, you know, I always have this book that I make notes in. And at the front of the book, I always have a page with stuff that people are looking for, right? You know, Kurt wants an apartment building in New Brunswick or something. And so I put all this stuff down there. So as a reminder, when I get phone calls, because the universe brings stuff to you. As soon as you put it out there, it'll bring it to you, right? So I said, okay, let me write this down. What is it? So he tells me what it is. And it's Greek to me. I have no idea what he's talking about. So I put it in my book. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, I'm on a land assembly deal out at Airdrie. I'm working with a realtor. We're trying to assemble 5 or 6 little acreages together into a little mini subdivision that we could sell to a developer who was looking for some land. And at the end of the call, he said to me, oh, by the way, Shelley, it appears that you have a pretty big network. He goes, do you ever have anyone that wants jet fuel? And I started laughing. I go, yeah, I do. So I opened up my book and I went, yeah, I'm looking for JP54 and D2. No idea what this is. And he goes, oh, yeah, we have that. And we have Jet A1 and we have Mazout. And I'm like, okay, let me write that down. And so I phoned up my guy in Ottawa. And as it turned out, the person that he had the inquiry from had found his fuel. So that kind of took me off in a totally different direction. And it was really interesting because everyone that I met through that business had a real estate connection. It was just really, you know, uncanny. And so I made even more real estate contacts and built my database even further. And some of those people I still to this day, I don't do jet fuel right at this particular point in time. I do have friends who do it. It is a very difficult business to break into. It takes a while to get the right connections. And right now, of course, it is crazy busy because of the war in, you know, Ukraine and with Russia. So it is just not busy. And so I do get the odd person that still calls me. I forgot that. But I prefer to work in gold. I had done diamonds at one point in time. Wow. And I got a deal yesterday for Tanzania for, you know, 1,000 kilograms of gold that I'm trying to help a friend of mine place into somebody. And I have a buyer, but they're not ready to go there right now. So I do that, and I do financial instruments, which has been a really interesting learning curve about how people raise money behind the scenes that the average person would not ever have been exposed to. It's been an interesting time, let's just put it that way. Over the last 10 years, I've learned a lot, and I've met some really interesting people.
So if somebody has something they're either looking to acquire or looking to sell, how can they get a hold of you?
I'll give you my contact information. I have my email up there, shelley@shelleyhagan.com. You can reach me at shelleyhagan.com, which is goes to my real estate website. And my phone number is 403-540-2668. I'm on Facebook, you know, I'm everywhere. But I do most of my connections through my email and my phone rather than through social media. I just have so many people on social media. I get bombarded by all kinds of things there. So if you do want to reach out to me, your best bet is to text me through my cell phone or through WhatsApp. I use the same number at WhatsApp or with my email. That'll probably get to me faster than coming through Facebook, just because I just get bombarded with so much stuff there. But yeah, I'd love to talk to anyone. If you got something you're looking for, exotic, you know, you never know. The other day I got somebody that had a Rembrandt painting for sale. I don't have very many people who want to buy Rembrandt. So, you know, I get all kinds of stuff that come my way. You never know.
So what's the most important aspect? Like, you talked about obviously building your network and, you know, really building that relationship. But when it comes to, I guess, the transactional aspect of it, what is a key thing that you always make sure you do when it comes to wholesaling, regardless of what it is?
Well, making sure that I get enough details to work the deal, to make sure that, you know, it is a deal, right? Because I want to make sure that if I'm getting something under contract, that it actually is something of value to the person that I'm going to be sending it to. And those, I think, are really important. And protecting yourself as the wholesaler, you know, get it under contract so that someone doesn't come in and, you know, circumvent you and cut you out of the deal. That's really important. And getting to trust people. Once you get a good established rapport with people, I do repeat business over and over with those people because I know that they're not going to mess me around. They're not going to try to cut me out. They're going to pay me what they agreed to pay me. And it's all about integrity, I think, in this business, working with people that you feel comfortable with and being an integral person yourself.
Yeah, I think that's a really key aspect when it comes to investing of any kind, is to really build strong relationships. And when you say you're going to, you know, do something, following through with that and, you know, having trust so you can do future business with somebody. Because, you know, when you're starting out in business, marketing and acquiring kind of new leads, new people within your network is probably the most challenging thing. But if you don't foster those relationships, then you're always going to have to find new people instead of having the people that you've created those relationships with start connecting you with other people. I don't know anybody else that's randomly said, hey, somebody wants to sell a Rembrandt and contacted them. So, which is awesome. So anybody listening to this, if you are looking for a Rembrandt, contact Shelley. And Shelley, we will have your contact details in our kind of description of this episode below. So if you get contacted for somebody with Rembrandt, just remember us. And then maybe we can hopefully funnel some more business your way as well. So that is awesome. And any last words of advice for somebody that wants to get into investing or wants to get into wholesale and not necessarily just real estate, I guess, like what's the best thing they can do to start?
Well, you know, in real estate, I always say that probably the thing that I've learned the most since leaving the phone company and working for somebody else is about leverage, right? So leveraging, as we've talked about, our network, but leveraging yourself, your knowledge, leveraging your credit, your money, and other people's money and properties, I think is really, really important. And even though I do wholesaling, and when I do my coaching and mentoring, people want to start out with wholesaling because it's a way to, you know, gain some capital. I really am still looking at how can I get them into some kind of an income stream property. And I really believe that in order to be successful in any business, doesn't matter what it is, you need to have multiple streams of income. And I certainly don't coach and train on just real estate. You know, you should have a balance in your portfolio as well and not have everything all in one basket. So those are, I think, the key things. Leveraging, you know, your contacts, your network, and looking for multiple streams of income so that you have balance. And if something goes wrong on one end, because the market changes, you still got income coming over here so that you're not putting yourself in a high-risk situation.
That is awesome advice. And again, on behalf of JFK Properties, I'd like to thank you, Shelley, for being a guest on the Logger and Listings podcast, and look forward to hearing more from you on the Rembrandt and the gold and diamond. So it certainly sounds like you have a lot in the go as always. And again, it was a pleasure having you, and we will catch up, I'm sure, very soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much for inviting me to Loggers and Listings. It was great as always. I love working with you, Kurt. And so you have a great day. Happy investing, everybody.
Thank you very much, Shelley.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Logger and Listings podcast, leave a like or a comment. Not only will we appreciate it, but it will also help this podcast grow organically and help other investors and entrepreneurs grow their businesses and have fun along the way.